Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and it is the 12th of March. Kind of like it seems like the thing, the Ides of March. Okay, 2024, which I actually had to think about, so there you go. It is 2024. I've got Dave Butler here today. Dave's the National Accounts Director over at Text Help, which is good friends of ours. You go to texthelp.com and you can see everything they do, which is wonderful for people who need their work so much. We'll talk about it. Okay. But he gives national presentations all over the country, talking to school districts, leaders, et cetera, et cetera. All right. And we're going to talk today about assessments and how we need to transform assessment practices for inclusive technology. We want grading and testing to be fair to everybody. Okay. Dave not only works for TextUp, but in the course of his work, he talks to everybody and he hears what they have to say and hears what school districts across the country are looking for. And I have a feeling school districts across the country are all kind of looking for the same thing regarding this, to figure out ways that all kids can be tested equally and assessed equally, I might add, taking into account their special needs or whatever the case may be. Dave's going to tell us all about it. We'll archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. All our podcasts are over there, all kinds of information over there. Everything's free over there, our magazine over there, our Equity Awards program, et cetera, et cetera. Please go over, check it out, share it with your friends over at ace-ed.org. And you can also, when you're playing around on the web, go to texthelp.com, and you'll find out all kinds of things, including how to get in touch with Dave. Good morning, Dave Butler.
Good morning, Larry Jacobs. How are you today?
I'm fine, buddy. How are you in Chicago today?
I am just north of Chicago. I'm actually in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. So we are the playland of Chicago. So
it is indeed. Do you have a house there? Do you live up there?
I live in Lake Geneva. I have lived in southern Wisconsin for the last 25 years, so that is home for me.
Lucky you, and if people haven't been to Lake Geneva, it is absolutely terrific, just kind of over the Wisconsin border from northern Illinois, and it's just great over there. I used to go there all the time, for goodness sakes. Well, in fact, the necklace, I always wear a necklace that I bought in Lake Geneva. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfect. It's cool. A small world.
It is. I just realized that. My necklace that I wear all the time, I bought in Lake Geneva. How about that? Dave, you're National Account Director over at TextHelp, and I just want to start simple, but TextHelp's good friends of ours. Tell us about TextHelp. I just want to get into that because you're calling on school districts all over the country, as I was saying. You hear, you know, you get your ear to the grindstone. But we're talking about assessing kids fairly, all kids fairly, okay? With a good inclusive technology, which you guys are great at doing. Tell us about TextHelp, and let's go from there. Dave Butler, everybody.
Sure. In a nutshell, TextHelp is a literacy and numeracy company, technology company that primarily works with struggling learners. So that would include, again, most of our students with disabilities, but also our second language learners, our Title I students. Those are always the three subgroups that are have the greatest percentage of struggling students. And then, of course, coming out of the pandemic, now this need is only exacerbated. We have so many kids that are struggling. And how do we get them to have not only access to the content, but also have success in the content and then be able to demonstrate that mastery on assessments? And I'm really excited to talk to you today about that.
Yeah, we are going to. And I said this before, I'm not sure, but I have a feeling I'm right. As you go from school district to school district, is everybody facing kind of the same problem? What's the word you're hearing? And again, it's anecdotal, but you hear it all the time. What are you hearing about it?
100%, Larry. I mean, every district is struggling, retaining teachers, mental health for students. We have a whole bunch of students who are now entering third grade that this is really the first year that they've had daily instruction in a classroom.
Amazing.
With structured instruction. And so there are so many challenges, and whether we're talking the smallest, most rural school district to the most urban school district, they are all facing challenges of trying to keep students in their seats, keep the teachers in the classroom, and having success in the school system.
Right. And there's two things I want to say. First of all, we got to make sure that all kids feel successful at whatever pace they're on, but we have to give them success. Okay, because if we don't, they get frustrated and they lose their engagement with their school like anybody would. You get frustrated with something you're not happy with there. So it's very important we assess them correctly, okay, just in that regard, to make sure that they are moving at their own pace, but that they are learning. That makes people feel good, okay, and that's the purpose of school. That's one of the reasons I think this is so darn important. And Dave, I got to say something, okay? I read yesterday, which I can't believe, yesterday, March 11th, I don't know if you saw this, was the fourth anniversary of the beginning of the pandemic.
And absolutely.
It seemed to me, and when my wife told me that, I thought, God, it seemed like it was 20 years ago. Okay, but it wasn't. And what you just said, all right, you know, about some kids have really had not been in school every day, you know, until third grade. It's the same thing. I mean, it's hard to believe that we went through all this and we are working through it. And it was not very long ago, which everybody, I just found the whole timeline incredible. And we have to do something about this because we're all facing it. And I just want to ask you this. This is a shameless plug, but tell me how does text help? I just want to get to this part. How does text help solve this particular problem? And I do want people to listen to this because I love your company. So just talk about that for a second.
I appreciate that.
Shameless, but just do it. Yeah.
Well, I'll hit that low-hanging pitch right over the fence. So
TechSelf
is, being a technology company, is there to meet students where they need. We're huge into accessibility for our students with disabilities, but we want to level the playing field for all students and allow them to not only have access. We've talked about access to the curriculum for, you know, decades, but really we know now, starting with No Child Left Behind and continuing on with ESSA, is we need students to have success in the classroom, and that is really what we want to do. And as we have teachers who have so much on their plate, and the diversity of student needs is only growing, this is a way to be able to shrink some of that diversity, have students meeting their own learning styles, using technology in the classroom. There is very little positive that has come out of the pandemic, but if there is one good thing that's come out of the pandemic, is almost every student has a dedicated device in the K-12 classroom now. And so this is really about using these tools to not only access the curriculum, but also level the playing field for those students who struggle with decoding, but those students who struggle with language, students who struggle with vocabulary. So helping students be able to comprehend, understand, and be understood. That is our motto.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you something. You know, I was mentioning how important it is for kids to feel successful, that they're learning at their own pace. And I'm not in, you know, as long as kids are learning, that's fine. Okay, that's great. But, you know, as you were talking a minute ago, I also think it's important for teachers. Okay, teachers have to feel successful too. All right. And
absolutely,
when you assess properly and take the time to assess properly using all the technology that you need to make sure that, like you said, kids who speak a different language are assessed equally. Okay. It makes you feel so much better about your job. And in an age of teacher retention and teacher shortages, it's just so important to use all our tools so that everybody feels good about schooling, the students, the parents, the teachers, and I might add the administrators. Would I be good? How's that, Dave?
100%. I couldn't have said it better.
Yeah, thank you very much. I bet you could have said it better, and I bet you do every day, but I appreciate the compliment from a master at the field. So what are they telling you? Okay, when you go around and just pick any, you know, don't name them, but just think of the sales calls you've made, the informational calls you've made, and what are you hearing back from the superintendents, et cetera, the department heads, whoever you're calling, or the directors of technology, whatever?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's challenging out there. You know, districts are struggling with staff retention. The diversity of needs for students is greater than ever. The high-pressure state assessments are that accountability is as great as it's ever been. And so all of these factors are really putting a weight on education. And so many folks, from classroom teachers to administrators, are leaving the field because they're feeling like they're not being successful in making a difference for students. And what I want everybody to hear, and whether you're a teacher, you're an administrator, thank you. Thank you for everything you do for kids. And we are here to help partner with you in any way we can to help you help students be successful in life and be lifelong learners.
And that's actually a good segue. So if a school district, and I'll just take Milwaukee, it's close enough to you, okay, big city, okay? Okay. Mm-hmm. When you go in there and they say, we got this challenge, okay, whatever it might be, an assessment and, you know, all the diversity needs, inclusive technology, et cetera, what can you come back with them with? Because you said something interesting just now. You want to partner with school districts. Okay, but in order to do that, you have to listen to them. You know this, certainly. You have to listen to them. Mm-hmm. What do they need? Okay, and so, what are they saying they need? And then how do you come back with that and help them? What do you offer them that helps them accomplish these needs as they move towards better assessment practices? With technology, sure. I might add. Yeah, and by the way, that's important. I have to say something else. There's a whole movement out there, and everybody I think knows this, called equitable grading. Okay, because there's a lot of concern that grading is inequitable. All right, and this is one of the things that's going to help this. All right, I'm just concerned about assessment grading and all that sort of thing. So Milwaukee, let's just use them as the example. Milwaukee, okay, says to you, we need this, okay, whatever that might be, you can tell us. And then you say back to them, what? How do you help them?
Well, so often the number
by
one
By the way, Milwaukee's
outside.
The example. I don't know Milwaukee, we'll just use them as the example.
Sure, absolutely. Well, and regardless of the district, again, urban to rural, oftentimes the first thing they need is, we need more bodies. Okay, I can't really help you with too many more bodies. However, their number two request is, how do we make kids successful? How do we have them access grade level content, have success in the curriculum, and then be able to demonstrate that mastery on assessments? And that is something I definitely can help. So take the diversity of the classroom. You have everything from students with disabilities who might be reading independently multiple grades behind grade level, all the way up to students who are gifted and talented, who are reading independently well above grade level, and everything in between. Each of those students has different needs as far as the content. But what technology does, when you look at some of those practices of universal design for learning and multiple means of expression and multiple means of modalities, technology helps level that playing field from everything from that student who doesn't know what this word says to what does this word mean to how do I read this text? How do I translate that into a native language that I might actually have an opportunity to be able to comprehend, to just, hey, I'm reading IB curriculum and, you know, that content is so advanced that sometimes I just want to sit back and plug in my earphones and I am just listening to the text be read to me. Not that I have to have that to be successful, but I don't know of any student who uses technology just for the sake of using technology. That technology is doing something for them. And it could be just something as simple as making their life easier and not being as taxing at that point.
When you go into a school district these days, and I don't care what school district, where is I'm going to say it oddly. The sweet spot of their diversity is it's when they go in and need inclusive technology, are they thinking of special ed? Are they thinking of ESL? Where's the heartbeat of this? The sweet spot, so to speak.
Special education or SEL is yes. They're looking. Every district is looking at those state assessment scores because those are the numbers that get printed in the paper in every community.
Yes.
And, so which subgroup is our lowest performing? Oftentimes that is our SWD or students with disabilities. In some areas, it is going to be our second language learners. Oftentimes when you get into urban school districts, sometimes it's our Title I population. And, of course, there's always going to be overlaps of students who fall in multiple categories within that. And so wherever the lowest test scores are, that seems to be where the greatest amount of attention is happening at that point in time, and how do we raise?
Yeah, and assess them more fairly, because I always want to say a lot of these kids are intelligent. They're just being tested improperly to measure that intelligence, and every teacher we're talking to knows that. Okay, but this is what we got to do. It's got to be more equitable so we understand it. But okay, as with everything these days, and I do mean everything, okay, there was always resistance. All right,
mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, okay? And, and some people may say, well, if you change the test for this student, then you're really not getting an accurate measure. You're giving that student a break. Let's just say it that way, okay? How do you handle that question? Does it come up? I assume it does.
Sure. I mean, probably one of the most common objections that's raised is that's cheating. Or it's giving a student an unfair advantage.
Exactly. And yeah, that's what I mean.
I am quick to, take my glasses off and say, oh, so I'm supposed to take the test without my glasses because my glasses are cheating. Or I'm supposed to park my wheelchair at the door because it gives me the advantage of mobility. And really, we need to look at research and understand what the research is saying about the use of these tools. To the best of my knowledge, I've never seen any research that says that using a text reader provides a unique advantage to students. But yet I have seen research that says that students who are using text readers actually become better independent readers. And that makes sense. We see that word, we hear the word, we're much more likely to be able to identify that word even when we're using and encounter that word independently at that point in time.
It's amazing, and I'm sorry, I had a feeling there was, but there's always resistance somewhere along the line that it's not fair. But in fact, what we're trying to do is come up with a way so that everybody is on the same playing field. And your analogy is the same. That's why we have different weight measures in boxing, so to speak. A featherweight doesn't fight a heavyweight, okay? It's just not not fair, okay? So you have to find a way to measure it equally, okay, and to give everybody a fair chance. What's the most innovative thing you've put together? I got to ask this. You travel to a million school districts or so. When you hear all this, what's the most innovative thing you've kind of put together when you heard all this?
That's a great question. And
It is.
One of the things that I am really excited about is across the country, and part of this is just now in my new role as a national account director, I work mostly with state level. Yeah, thank you. So I work mostly with state level, so SEAs rather than LEAs, but I'm seeing more and more of an interest in looking at trying to provide equitable education across the districts in the state because it doesn't matter where the state is. There are going to be inequities as far as finances. It could be inequities with people. It could be inequities with the tools that they have. But trying to balance out and be able to say, hey, we're going to take this tool, provide it to everybody, and say, everybody has access to this. So I am particularly excited with those states that I'm working with. Each state does it a little bit differently. Some of them are doing all students within certain LEAs. So they're doing more kind of pilot types of districts. So like Indiana, Iowa, New Mexico are all examples that are doing that. The state of Georgia.
And when you say LEA, what's that acronym?
Local Education Agency. So the local.
That's what
school
I thought.
District.
And the other one was State Education Agency. Yeah. Welcome to the wacky world of acronyms. Yeah.
Well, be careful, because if more than 50% of the people can define the acronym, we'll change it in education. So
that's for darn sure.
But in Georgia has actually provided tools, a baseline of tools for every student with an IEP across the state. So whether you're in urban Atlanta City or you're in the smallest, most rural school district in Eccles County that has, you know, two schools in the entire county at that point,
Every
student with a disability has access to the same tools in order to be successful.
I got to ask you one second. Were you serious about Eccles County, Georgia? I'm not familiar with it. But they only have two schools in the whole county?
Only two schools in the entire county. Yeah, it is a very small rural school district right towards the Georgia-Florida state line.
Well, I'm going to look it up and find out a little more about them. Okay. I've never heard of it. That's it. That's so interesting. Yeah, especially Georgia, and they have big school district county. They have huge countywide school districts. And when you say there's a district, there's a county with just two schools. That's amazing. Yeah. I bet there's a lot of other superintendents are going, boy, that sounds easy. I wish I could do that, right? Just focus on two, right, as opposed to 300.
But with that comes their own set of challenges, too.
Yeah, it does.
So they do have some financial challenges there in the district because they don't have that student population, and there's not a lot of jobs. And, you know, there's a lot of dirt in the county, but there's not a lot of housing. So there's certainly its own set of challenges. Whether you're the largest district in Georgia, like Gwinnett County, to that small school district, you know, they will have areas that they're going to really succeed in, and then there will be areas that really are a struggle at that point in time.
Yeah, it's so amazing. And what you have to do as National Accounts Director is figure out what fits each district, okay, and how to do it. And, you know, and I just want to ask this. Take the Text Help products for a second, okay? Mm-hmm. And which ones – I'm wondering, is this the right way? I don't want it to be an infomercial, but feel free to talk about it. With the products you have that help people do so many things, math, reading, et cetera, what are the ones that are the most popular that the school districts see, yes, I need this because, okay, I have kids who need this, I have that, and I know you guys do a lot of work in that. How's it all work with Text Help products? What's the most popular?
Yeah.
I'm giving you a leeway here. Go ahead. Go for it.
All right.
Yeah.
So when I work with a particular state, the first place that I visit is the state ESSA plan, the state systematic improvement plan. And in there, they're going to identify where they want to focus their resources. Almost every district across the country and every state, they're going to be focusing either on reading and or math. And both of those tools, you know, both of those areas of the curriculum fall right into our purvey. So
it does.
A lot of our literacy tools, so the actual literacy tool would be a tool called Read and Write, which just as its name suggests, it helps with students who struggle with reading and writing. We are actually having a lot of success with a tool called UPAR, the Universal Protocol for Accommodations in Reading. And this is actually a teacher tool to help measure the value of a read aloud on each student's comprehension, because comprehension is the essence of reading. So often we know students come to a read-aloud accommodation, the number one way is based upon the recommendation of a classroom teacher. The same research that tells us that also tells us that the classroom teacher is just as likely to make the call incorrectly as correctly on a read-aloud support.
Of course.
So UPAR takes the guesswork out of it. Now you have
I have data. To ask a question. How does it do that? I have to ask the question. How does it do that?
It's all entirely web-based. So basically what happens is a student goes on to an internet-able device. They log into a website, startpar.com. It says, what's your name? What's your grade level? And then what we're going to do is we take them off on a journey, giving them a variety of text types to initially pick and choose from, and then text level, so grade level equivalency. And we're going to try to figure out, can we get to students to grade level or above in comprehension? After all, that's our goal for every student, is for them to read, to comprehend, you know, at grade level or above. That's the goal for every student. So at the end of the protocol, we can tell for every student, well, this student doesn't benefit from a read aloud. This student's comprehension improves one grade. This student's comprehension improves two grades. I've seen reports of students' comprehension improving as much as 11 grade levels using a read aloud support compared to their independent.
Wow, that's incredible. I didn't know such a thing existed. That's fabulous.
Sure.
Yeah.
Super excited about that. We use this actually in the state of Arkansas. Yeah, Arkansas. I was actually there right before Christmas, and I was in
one
of
the leaders. They're one of the leaders in all this. Science and reading and all that sort of stuff, without question.
They're an incredible group of people there. In one of their school districts, they had a student who was actually in their most restrictive environment, or as they called it, their most supportive environment. I say the most restrictive environment. But they actually gave this student UPAR, and the student, so this is typically my wife and I, we have a daughter who is on alternate assessment. So even though she's 19 years old, she functions at about 3 to 5 year old. And she can independently read at about first grade. And a student like that is not typically somebody who benefits a ton from read alouds at that point. But what happened in this particular case, the student was given UPAR. They actually almost passed at grade level using a read aloud. The teachers didn't believe that the student could do that, so
I can imagine.
They made him do it again, and he passed.
Wow.
And this student now is being included in the general education classroom and being removed from this self-contained special classroom. Now is on a path for a graduation, a diploma, a general diploma versus a certificate of completion. This student's life has been changed forever.
Absolutely.
Now they can do anything to help them.
And I want to ask something about that student. When you said most restrictive, okay, was he a discipline problem? Is that what restrictive means? And I'm asking for a reason.
Restrictive means that they're more in modified content standards. So every state has different terms for what type of classroom they would call this. And so, but these are typically students who are really oftentimes they're not going to graduate with a high school diploma. They're going to get a certificate of completion. They will be like
and they're frustrated as hell, etc. And what I was driving at with that. Look how you can change a kid, okay? And everybody along the way, believe me, means well. But when we suddenly realize a kid can be successful and they can get, I'll just say for the sake of this, an A rather than an F or a C rather than an F, okay? Mm-hmm. It makes all the difference in the world, okay? And suddenly this kid who, and the point I'm driving at is we need to make sure that kids are engaged and kids are successful. Okay, and the same thing with the teachers. And, you know, if we do that and measure it properly, we're going to have be much happier with the results. And that kid is the perfect example. okay, of how 100%. All this can work and put together. Yeah, it really makes a difference. And I'm glad your daughter's enjoying it too, okay? Which is really
this
cool.
Is the best.
You have that incredible.
I have the best job in the world.
I was going to say you have an incredible insight as you walk into school districts. Okay, you know what's going on, et cetera. I think it's wonderful. Okay, that everybody's doing so well. Dave, thank you. This was I loved it. It was great. Thank you for your insights. You do good job. As text help, I might add. Thank you.
I greatly appreciate it. Thank you. I appreciate everything you do for kids.
Well, thank you, and enjoy that beautiful place you live. It really is a gorgeous part, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, I got to tell you. You take care. Thanks, Dave.
All right, very good. Take care, Larry.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, I think I cut him off. I apologize. Dave Butler, everybody, from Text Help. This is a great company. I've worked with them for years. TextHelp.com. And the important thing is, as Dave goes from place to place, he's hearing the same thing. And you would say the same thing to him. We need help with this. Okay, and this is a company that wants to give you that help. Okay, I'm going to say that, no problem at all. So please check it all out, texthelp.com. It's linked. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening, and have a good day.